Good evening, everybody. Once again, 317, and I'm going to ask everybody to stand so that you can have a full diaphragm as you sing today. 317. That's all right. I understand. I understand, sister. All righty. Ready, sis?
Come every soul by sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. Only trust Him. Shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes white as snow. Only trust Him, only trust Him. Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you into rest. Trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Come then and join this holy band and on to glory go. To immortal flow. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Ernestine, and for giving us a little accompaniment. Tonight we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. But we're also going to be in Mark and Luke as we look at a particular parable. We're going to look at what the Bible says is if we don't understand this parable, then we're not going to understand the rest of the parables. And so we'll be in Matthew 13, but we'll also be in Mark 4 and Luke 8. But it's good to see you tonight. So thankful that you've made the effort to come out. What a beautiful few days we've had. And a beautiful blue sky and not too hot. God has been really good to us. And want to tell everyone watching by Facebook or listening as well that it's good to have you tonight and pray that you're being blessed, and we're thankful to have you. But as you're turning to Matthew 13, I do want to go into some announcements just to kindly give you a heads up on what's going on around here. Tomorrow night at 6:30, we'll have visitation. 6:30. If you don't have anyone to visit, we'll hook you up with someone and somewhere to go and try to go out two by two. And then on Saturday at 8 a.m., men, we're going to be having a breakfast together and probably be doing a little prayer. I don't want to say it's a prayer breakfast. Really going to be fellowship, but want you to be come out for that. Then this Sunday morning, the 7th, we will be taking up a love offering for the victims of the flood, whether it be Virginia, Kentucky. We'll get it to the right people, and all that we take up will be for that. And then also Sunday morning, we'll be partaking in the Lord's Supper. We'll be a part of that. And then Sunday night after our evening service, we have a church council meeting, so remind the folks of that. And then on Saturday, August the 13th, at 6 p.m., we're going to be having a welcome back community celebration as we're getting ready to get school kicked off, but also as we're trying to get the church as we move into this new year. Shouldn't be anything limited. We're just going to be back to a full functioning body of Christ with all the ministries there. Are there any other announcements that I may have forgotten this evening? Again, visitation tomorrow, Lord's Supper Sunday morning, and men's breakfast on Saturday. I think they are. The youth, I think I heard them talking about it as I was coming through a while ago. So I want to pray for them. We also, as you're turning to Matthew 13, we want to have our time of prayer. Give God the praise. Hallelujah. God is good, and he does all things well. Amen. Even when we don't understand what he's doing or how he's doing, he's still doing it well. He's still doing it right. And praise God, if we seek to be in his will, then we're doing right as well. We're where he'd have us to be. We do want to pray for our lost and backslidden. As you know, we have our prayer services at 11 o'clock on Tuesday, and praise God, the men of Brother Jack and the men from recovery came yesterday and were with us, had a wonderful prayer time there, and then was able to get them some clothes from the Hope Center afterwards. Man, they filled up a trunk worth, and so we give God the praise for that too. Want to pray for marriages. We're getting into the time of year where marriages begin. You know, there's a lot of marriages as we push on into fall, and all we want to pray because the devil's attacking. And then we want to remember the bereaved, those that's lost loved ones, as we think of Mr. Henry, I think it was, last week, and others that went on to be with the Lord. Those that are depressed, dealing with anxiety and chemical imbalances and things like that. And then the COVID-19 affected. Praise God, I saw Sister Amy Hass today, and her and Brother Jeff are doing well as they've come through it. Let's remember our elections to 2022, and we know there's a lot of primaries going on right now, and continue to pray for not only our state, our national government, but our federal, our state and our local governments as well. Remember Recovery Through Christ there at the men's center, but also they're trying to on the, I think somewhere, God willing, around Big Stone, they're trying to get a women's rehab facility, treatment place going. So continue to pray for that. Do pray for our new church year as we're pressing on, looking for big things to happen this year. And pray that all of our needs and spots be fulfilled. We do want to remember the flood victims. And I was listening to the news the other day when they were given rain, you know, for Monday and Tuesday and all that. And one lady said, well, just let it come because I ain't got anything else to lose. And I mean, that is just, I mean, that breaks your heart there. I want to pray for them. And then do pray for our economy as everything's going on, you know, and pray that God just take care of everyone and all things. In the way of prayer needs, and again, I ask you, I think I've got all the ones that I've been told to remove off here, but if I get to the name, just say, preacher, take that one off and be loud about it, because so I can hear you, okay? We do want to pray for Sister Teresa Cobb. We want to pray for Brother Danny Roten and Sister Sherry. Also, Mr. Leonard and Miss Nancy. I talked to Miss Nancy just before coming up here, and they were able to meet with a doctor yesterday, feel very good about the doctor, and also they've got plans to a plan in place now that they'll be going and doing, figuring out what's going on and what needs to be done next Wednesday. That's kind of the beginning of things, and they're going to be doing their best to get all of the fluid off of his lung and all that. So continue to pray there. Pray for Miss Janet Willis. This is Sister Susan's mother. We want to continue to pray for her. Denise Mosher, Ava Miller with COVID, and then all those that's our growing families, the Shepherd, the Glasses, and the Coles, as they're expecting little ones before long. Diane Anderson, Mark Vanover, Brittany Grindstaff, Bridget Holmes, Molly and Howard Edwards, Audrey Irving, Michael and Charity Fields, Jan Williams, Jared Collins, Linda Fletcher, Herschel Jesse, Gene and Chuck Dennison, Gene Fannin, Peggy DeBoard, Melanie Lester, Kathy Kynes, Ruth Roten and Nick Roten, John Austin, Brenda Stevens, Linda Thompson, Anthony, who has cancer and in need of salvation, J.D. Nielsen, Sister Jeanette, Brother Tommy Mullins, Wilma Daniels, Brother Jasper and Sister Pam, Mary Jane Carter, Wilma Williams, Karen McDavid, Lisa Estep, Billy Carter, Aiden Jordan, Kathy Baldwin, Miranda Caldwell, Dr. Awan, Mickey Gillum, Rhonda Doran, Larry Tomlinson, Mike Brown, Gail Stidham, Charlotte Bishop, Kathy Smith, Penny Horton, Kearney, Chuck Kearney, Randy Meeks, Brandon Johnson, Terry Biller, Debbie Starnes, Margaret Williams, Jesse Bull, Pam Savarsky, Jason Knight, Stephen Smith, Buddy McNutt, Kevin Tigner, Heather Markham, Betty McCorkle, Maggie Statzer, Roger and Virginia Eden, Junior Webb, Daryl Hurd, Shalene Harris, Kim and Dale Owens, Candy Worth, Daryl Green, Paul Davis, Genevieve and Jerry Flannery, Cindy Osborne, Denny Lemon, Charlene Lofton, C. Edmonds, Shannon Haynes, Laura Evans and family, JT and Gladys Jones, Ruth and Rhea Osborne, Paul and Thomas Stoyer, Carol Carter, Ezekiel, Robbie and Daniel Jordan, Chris and Eddie Barnett, Ethan Bowen, Daisy Richards, Dakota McQueen, Chris and Jennifer Strange, Judy Webb, Tyler and Donna Haas, David and Felicia Cantrell, Lance and Sabrina Stollard, Mr. Pippin, Haley Webb, Carol Dishner, Darlene Porter, Rhonda Bryant, Jalen and Scott Bledsoe, Chelsea LeBlanc, Steve Neff, Linda Jackson, Helen Bowen, Brother Hoyt and Sister Phyllis, Lottie Johnson, Frank and Cecilia Pennington, Randall and Edie Gunner, Nicholas Patrick, David Starnes, James Connor, Evan Bach, Rick Slayers, having heart issues, Jeff Smith, Stuart Owens, Tony Nunley, Sandra Dishner, Herman Sampson, Tracy Carter, the Broyles family, Dwight Quillen, Robbie Rico, Debbie Kendall, Brenda Allen, and Joanna Fisher. Any other needs tonight? Judy Webb. Okay. Anyone else? Yes, I had her, and I moved her up and just missed her. Miss Moselle. Anyone else? We will. I took a COVID test yesterday just to make sure. Anyone else? Sounds like the president. Anyone else?
Brother Roy.
Yes, Brother Roy is going to have his new ears. What day is that? What day y'all going? Procedure. Got to jump through the hoops, right? That's. Anyone else? All right, Brother Keith, do you mind coming and leading us in a word of prayer? We do remind you that the altar is open, and we do have a bunch of stuff that we're going to be donating in the social hall. And as we're praying, Brother Keith, if you would, just pray blessings over that they'll feel the love and of Jesus Christ, if nothing else. And then also remember the backyard Bible study tonight. They're handing out the backpacks that we prayed over Wednesday night. So, Brother Keith, if you would. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you, dear God, for another chance, Lord, to come to your house to hear your word taught, Lord. And Lord, there is so much that's went on, and all these flood victims, Lord, I just pray for each and every one of them, Lord. And as we take this stuff down to the trailer tomorrow, Lord, I just pray, dear God, that you would bless each and every bag that's given out, Lord, in a special way. Lord, I just pray for all of the sick. I pray mostly, Lord, for the sin sick, Lord, yes, that knows you not as personal Savior. I just pray, dear God, that they would come to know you before it's too late. Lord, Brother Brian has mentioned all these people on our prayer list, and Lord, you know each and every need. Mm-hmm. And I just pray, dear God, that you would touch each and every one as only you can. Be with us, Lord, tonight as we study your word. Give Brother Brian the wisdom and the knowledge, Lord, to teach. And I just pray that each and every heart, Lord, would be receptive. Forgive us, Lord, of our many failures. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen. All right, tonight we are going to be using a lot of scripture. But I think that more scripture and less me is the way it ought to be. The Bible says it's faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we'll be in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. I'm going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 23. But tonight it would be the parables of Christ. We're going to be beginning a study looking at the parables that Christ Jesus told. And I'll tell you how we kindly are getting there. But let's look in Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat down while the whole crowd stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, "Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on the rocky ground where it didn't have much soil, and they grew up quickly. But since the soil wasn't deep, but when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it. Still other seed fell on the ground and produced fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30 times what was sown. Let everyone who has ears, let them hear." Then the disciples came up and asked him, "Why are you speaking to them in parables?" And he answered, "Because the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given for you to know, but it has not been given to them. For whoever has, more will be given, and he who will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. That is why I speak to them in parables, because looking, they do not see, and hearing, they do not listen or understand. Isaiah's prophecy is fulfilled in them. Now, this is a quote from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. It is fulfilled in them, which says, You will listen and listen, but never understand. You will look and look, but never perceive. For this people's hearts have grown callous. Their ears are hard of hearing, and they shut their eyes, otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn back, and I would heal them. Blessed are your eyes because they do see, and your ears because they do hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people long to see the things that you see, but didn't see them, to hear the things you hear, but didn't hear them. So listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone who hears the word about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away that which was sown in their heart. This is the one sown along the path. And the one sown along on the rocky ground, this is one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, but they have no root, and it is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, immediately they fall away. Now the one sown among the thorns is one who hears the word, but the worries of this age and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But the one sown on the good ground, this is one who hears and understands the word, who does produce fruit and yields some 100, some 60, some 30 times what was sown. And may God add the blessings to his readings. Now, on Sunday mornings, as you know, that we've been studying the seven signs that we find in the book of John, and it doesn't take long to realize why that Christ performs more than seven signs. And this Sunday we'll be on the sixth sign, looking at it as Jesus heals the man that was blinded from birth. But as I've been studying the Gospel of John and seeing what's in it, and I made a comment to Brother Paul about this yesterday, it's not what's standing out to me is not what is in the book of John, but what's not in the book of John. And what you find is that while there may be quote-unquote parables in the book of John, you're not going to see them in John as you do in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, as I was studying and reading in the MacArthur Study Bible, there seems to be some say up to 55 parables, and that's counting the book of John. But specifically, we know that there are 39 parables that are told by Christ, and at least 20 of those 39 are found in two or more of the Gospels, meaning that there's about 20 of them that are either in two or more of that. And so then I got to thinking about the parables. And you know, God has put it on my heart that it's back to basics. We need to get back to basics, just like we're studying in the book of John. You know, the book of John is the book that's referred to a new believer, so they get to know Christ better. But also, Christ made it a point to teach in parables. And if we're going to understand deeper spiritual truths, then we need to study the parables. So tonight we're beginning a study in the parables. And to be honest with you, I really wanted to begin with the one about the lighted candle. A candle that is lit, you are the light of the world. A candle that is lit is not to be put under a bushel basket or under a bed. Because that is, the parable itself is mentioned four times in three Gospels. It's mentioned twice over in the book of Luke. But as I was studying, and we're going to read it in just a second, but listen what Christ says about the parable of the sower. Over in Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Mark chapter 4, verse 13. Then Jesus said unto them, do not you understand this parable? Don't you understand this parable? Question mark. How then will you understand all of the parables? You hear? Let me read it again. Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? So unless I'm misinterpreting what I'm reading, to properly interpret and to understand all those 39 parables or up to 59 parables, we need to have at least a basic grasp and understanding of the parable of the sower. Now, the awesome thing about it is that Christ explains it. I mean, so we don't have to do much figuring there. But what is a parable? The Dictionary of Biblical Language says it's an illustration that teaches, an archetype, a symbol, or a foreshadowing. But now the Webster's 1828 said this, a fable or an allegory in relation to or representation of something in real life or in nature by which a truth is drawn for illustration. My simple definition is it's an earthly story with a heavenly truth. An earthly story, a parable is an earthly story that presents a heavenly truth. And so knowing that he says that we need to grasp this one, so instead of going on to the other parables, what I want to do is you find the parable of the sower where we just read it in Matthew chapter 13, but then you also find it in Mark chapter 4 and also then in Luke chapter 8. So I want to read to you from Mark. And I want to read to you from Luke. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 2. Jesus taught them many things in parables. And in his teachings, he said to them, listen, exclamation point. Consider the sower who went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where there was not much soil, and it quickly grew up. But since the soil wasn't deep, when the sun came up, it was scorched, and since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it did not produce fruit. Still others fell on the good ground, and they grew up and produced fruit that increased 30, 60, and some 100 times what was sown. Then Jesus said, let anyone who has ears to hear listen. When Jesus was alone, those around him with the 12. Now notice this. In the book of Matthew, it said his disciples. So we would consider that just being the 12. But by studying and reading this, we realize he had more disciples than just the 12. Remember, here's what it said. When Jesus was alone and those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he answered, the secret of the kingdom of God. Pause right there. In the book of Matthew, what does it say? The kingdom of heaven. Is there a difference, really? No, that's interchangeable, it seems, in the scriptures. The kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but those outside, everything comes in parables. So that they may indeed look and yet not perceive. They may indeed listen and yet not understand. Otherwise, they might turn back and be forgiven. Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables? The sower that sows is the word. Some are like the words, the seed sown on the path. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word sown in them. And then others are like the seed sown on rocky ground. When they hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy, but have not root, and they are short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. Others are like seeds sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the worries of this age, the deceitfulness of wealth, and their desires for other things enter in and choke out the word. And those like seed sown on good ground hear the word, welcome it, and produce 30, 60, and some 100 times what is sown. Now, in Luke chapter 8, and what's neat is that, praise God, they get shorter by each gospel. You know, they're not as long. So you've got Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through about 23. Mark chapter 4, you could say 1 through 20. And now Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 4. As a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from every town, he said in a parable, a sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell along the path, and it was trampled upon, and the birds of the sky devoured it. Other seeds fell on the rocks. When it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Now that's neat, isn't it? None of the other ones talked about moisture. They've talked about the heat, but Luke points out that they were lacking moisture. Other seeds fell on the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and still other seed fell on good ground. When it grew up, it produced fruit 100 times what was sown. As he said this, he called out, "Let anyone who has ears to hear listen." So he said, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given for you to know, but to the rest it is in parables, so that looking they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Again, Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. The seed along the path are those who have heard, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. And the seed on the rocks are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. Yet having no root, these believe for a while and fall away in a time of testing. As for the seeds that fell among the thorns are the ones, when they have heard, go their way and are choked by worries, riches, and the pleasures of life, and produce no mature fruit. But the seed in the good ground, these are ones who have heard the word with an honest and good heart, hold on to it, and by enduring produce fruit. And may God add the blessings to his scripture. Now, I've heard that it's been said that by Billy Graham that based on this scripture, he believes that 75% of the church is lost. Whereas you have meaning that on out of these four, it's believed that only one is truly saved. And I kind of lean that way, but as I studied today, I've never took all three and put them together. But as I studied today, there were some things that popped up that made me think, well, maybe there may be two that are genuinely saved. But the first thing that we need to understand and recognize and we need to talk about is the seed. The seed is the word of God. You look there in Mark 4:14 and Luke 8:10, Jesus plainly says that it is the word. This is the truth. This is the eternal, unchanging declaration of God, our Creator himself. And that we know this, that this word is incorruptible. It is truth from the book first of Genesis all the way through the last words of Revelation. If we don't understand it, that's not on God, that's on us. Where people say there's contradictions, the Bible doesn't contradict itself. Just because we can't make it work together at times doesn't mean that God falters. The Bible says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 and following. By obedience to the truth, having purified yourselves for sincere love of the brothers, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Listen, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. So see, the problem as we look at this and we think about this parable is the problem is not with the word. The problem is with the ground. There is something wrong with the ground or what is receiving the word of God. And here's the truth. Do you know whether it be me, whether it be Billy Graham, or whether it be Jesus Christ himself standing behind this pulpit and preaching the truth, there will be people who will not receive the word of God. You know that? I was reading behind Charles Spurgeon, and he's hard on preachers, and he says we need to check ourselves, make sure that we're in the right spirit, make sure that we've studied enough, but be reminded that when you preach, there is nothing wrong when you preach with the word if you stick with the word of God. You see, and notice this. It's not only the worldly crowd that will not receive the Word of God, but the church-going crowd, the religious crowd, will openly reject the Word of God. Amen? They did it in the day of Jesus Christ as He stood there and He taught. And in 2 Timothy, Paul warns us that it's going to get worse and worse. 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, and remember, he's writing to the preacher. Paul, the preacher, the missionary, is writing to Timothy, the preacher that he is planning on taking his place or filling his role after he passes on. He says to Timothy, Timothy, know this. Difficult times will come in the last days, for people will be lovers of themselves. Amen. I mean, just look, I mean, again, I know I've said this before, but what is the number one picture that is taken in the society today? A selfie. Me. Look how good me is. Look how pretty me is. Look how awesome me is. There'll be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable. I was told of an individual today that another man went to him. And this individual would tell you today that they're a believer in Christ Jesus and they want to live by His will. But the one individual went to the other and confessed a fault and said, I'm sorry. And the so-called believer wouldn't even respond to the apology. Irreconcilable, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, without love for what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Can I tell you that's why we don't have the numbers in church anymore like we used to? People love themselves and they love pleasure and they don't want to be accountable to no one else. And they're just doing holding to a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. So it's not the word, it's not the problem. The ground, the heart of humanity is the problem. And so as we look, we notice, I want you to look there in verses 12 of Matthew chapter 13. And this kind of gets down to the heart of what we're talking about here. The problem is not the word. The problem is the soil that it's being sown on. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12. For whoever has, more will be given to them, and they will have more than enough. But whoever does not have, what they have will be taken away from them. Now that, if you're not careful, that kind of seems to be a little bit wordy, doesn't it? And kind of confusing. But notice that this is recorded at least in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Listen how it's put in Mark. Mark chapter 4, beginning in verse 24. And Jesus said unto them, pay attention to what you hear. By the measure or the amount you use it, it will be measured unto you. For whoever has, more will be given to them. And whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. In Luke, Jesus recorded like this. Therefore, take care how you listen. Remember, what did Jesus say? He said, those who have ears to hear, listen. Therefore, take care how you listen. For whoever has, more will be given to them. And whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from them. Now, I kind of had to sit and ponder that today, and I had to read behind some other people. But you know what Jesus is talking about here? He's not talking about rewards. He's not talking about physical things. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about the revelation of God. The revelation. How many of you has read something like 100 times, and then on the 101st time, when you're reading it, God brings something out fresh that you've never seen before in that scripture? Jesus is talking about the amount of application of spiritual and biblical revelation that a man or a woman is using in their life. He's saying this, and remember, that's what he's talking about with the parable. It's being revealed to you. It's not being revealed to them, but it's being revealed to you. And see, here's the thing. What Jesus is saying is this. Be careful to how you listen, because if God reveals something to you, if He produces a spiritual truth and you understand that truth, but you do not take and apply that truth to your life, then guess what? Why would He give you any more spiritual truth? Why would He want to reveal anything else to you if you're not applying that which He's already shown to you? And He's saying this, not only will I not show them anymore, but I'll take away that which they think they already have. And folks, we're seeing that in the world today. We're seeing, number one, this is the first one. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together even more as you see that day approaching. You know what? There's many so-called Christians and former churchgoers that know that truth, but they're not applying it to their truth. And what we're seeing, we're thinking to ourselves, what's happened to this one? What's happened to that one? Because God is beginning to pull back the revelation that He's already given. Not that they don't know it anymore, but it just don't matter to them anymore. It don't matter anymore. And that's what He's saying. And the Bible talks about a time of a great falling away. I don't know if we're living in those days, but what I see is exactly what He's saying right there. Be careful how you listen to the Word of God, because it is gold, man. It is better than money. It is better than priceless silver. And when I show you, when the Holy Spirit moves with the Word of God and He reveals His truth to us, it is like walking on the blood of Jesus Christ. When we look at it, He shows it to us, but we will not apply it to our lives. And again, remember, it's not the Word. It's not the seed. Nothing's wrong with the seed. It's the ground. So then, if there's a problem with the ground, then we need to understand it, right? Okay, so let's look at the path, the first one. Y'all got to listen faster, okay? Look here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 4. I'm going to just read these to you. And He says, some fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Mark 4:4 says about the same thing, that the birds came and devoured them. Now in Luke chapter 8 verse 5, not only does He say that they fell along the path, but they were also trampled upon. Notice the disrespect. That people, you know, if you trample upon something, you really don't care about it. So these people, that when the word fell in their heart, they didn't care for it to be in their heart, but what happens? The birds come and they devour it. Well, I've always thought that was a kind of pretty picture of the birds coming down. But you know what the Bible says about Satan over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2? It says, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The prince and the power of the air. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. No, it's not chance or accident that Jesus used the idea of a bird swooping in and coming in. That's the picture of the enemy himself, Satan coming in and devouring those things. And the picture here is that these people that are receiving this word, they have no desire to hear the word. I'd say that that's the majority of the people in America today that are rejecting the word, and they don't even want a chance of it to even be sown into their soul. They don't want it on the dollar bills, and they don't want it on TV, and they don't want the street preachers. That matter of fact, they're getting to the point that they don't even want it inside the church house anymore. So we see that this soul is just hard-hearted. You remember Jesus said that their hearts have become calloused. They've become so worn and hard. And that's the soul that the devil comes in and he just removes any hint of the gospel in their hearts. And then the second one is the rocky soul. The rocky soul. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. And it grew up quickly since the soil wasn't deep. But then the sun came up and it was scorched. And since it had no roots, it withered away. Other seed fell on rocky soil where it was much soil. And basically it's the same. Luke is a little bit different. Other seeds fell on the rock. When it grew up, it withered away since it lacked moisture. Then Jesus goes on to explain it. He says, and the one on rocky ground, this one hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But they have no root, and it is short-lived. When distress or persecution comes because of the word, they immediately fall away. And then Luke says they have no root to and for they believe for a while, but when testing comes, they fall away. Now, the first one, the path, we know that those are unsaved, unredeemed, unregenerated people. The word does not take hold in their heart. Now, this one here, the rocky soil, I also believe that this is another that is an ungenerate, unsaved, unredeemed heart. Now, notice it says that they receive it with joy, meaning that there's no lack of enthusiasm. I mean, they're excited about it. They come up, you know, and you have a revival meeting or you go off to youth camp and you got those that just every time you go off there, woo, yeah, all right, yeah, you know, on fire. But what happens? It doesn't take too long. And they kind of fall away. And no longer is that excitement or is that joy. You see what it is? It's emotional. They received it, but they didn't receive it for what it truly was. These are kind of those that thought when you get saved, everything's going to be peaches and cream, rainbows and all that, and everything's going to be all right. I was reading behind J. Vernon McGee, and he called them Alka-Seltzer converts. He says you get a lot of fizz, but after not so long, the fizz is gone. And we see those times. And again, I'm not here to make any judgments on anybody. I'm not here to say who is and who ain't saved. But again, what we see here is we see that yes, they received it with joy, but when it's not what they thought it was going to be, when it doesn't work out the way they planned, what we see is the emotionalism. And I tell you what, that's what a lot of churchgoers want today. They want some songs that'll get up and make them, get them a little bit tingly. Praise God, I love good music, man. I love it. But you know, they've got it designed anymore that they know how many songs, how long to sing, and the beat to do it. I'm telling you, they've studied all this out. And they can get you to a place of an emotional experience. But it doesn't matter if you get the tingles or you raise your hand or whatever. That's not what's going to send you to heaven. That's not what makes a relationship with Christ. Notice it says that they fell away and they were because when the heat got turned up. You remember that song, "The Heat Is On"? The heat of the, you know, the idea is, hey man, it's getting pretty hot now. The illustration there that we use is when things get difficult, we talk about the heat being on. Well, these are the type of people when the heat gets turned up, the emotion gets turned down. And what do we see? We see that whoop, whoop, the roller coaster effect. Up and down. But I'm going to tell you, these here on the rocky soil, they're as lost can be. They're going to die and go to hell. Because they've said some magic prayer or walked the aisle or been dunked seven times. They've been lied to. And that's what the enemy does. He lies. And then the next what we have is the thorny soil. Now, I'm going to say that I believe that these are lost as well. I don't believe they're saved. One, by the first two, there's no fruit produced. You understand? A believer produces fruit. Someone that knows Jesus Christ and has a relationship with Jesus Christ produces fruit. But notice it says about the thorny soil, other seed fell among the thorns so that the thorns came up and choked them out. And Luke basically says the same thing. And again, you know, the first was basically the pressures of life, the emotions of life. I mean, the rocky soil, the emotions of life, and when things got difficult. Now, this one is a little bit different. Luke says this, and I'm going to read from Luke when Christ explains it, 8:14, Luke 8:14. As for these seeds that fell among the thorns are the ones who, when they had heard they go on their way, they receive the word and go on their way, but are choked by the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And this is what kind of makes me think a little bit. And they did not produce mature fruit. Mature fruit. So I hope, by all hopes that these accepted Jesus Christ and that they have a relationship. And we know not everybody's going to produce, because what does he say? Some 100, some 60, some 30. But it says that they don't produce mature fruit. But what happens with them? Again, listening to Brother J. Vernon McGee, he says, don't just believe that this is just rich people, those that seek it. He says, because the two, it could be the poorest of people that are having to work and to go. But notice, it's not only about money, but it's about the pleasures of self. What happens in this relationship, why do not they grow to a place of producing pure fruit? Because they want to satisfy self other than satisfying the Lord. They want more money. They want more stuff. The desires of this world is what they want in their life. Can I say that they're lost for sure? No, but I can say this, that they're not right with God and they're not producing fruit. And so we see that three of these specific, two we know have not truly accepted Jesus Christ. One flat out rejects Him. The other one has misinterpreted what the gospel is and what it means to be a Christian. And after a while, when it's the heat gets turned up, they just fall away. Now here on the thorny soil, we see that it takes root and begins to grow, but the thorns of life. And remember, over in the garden, he talks about how we'll have to work and the thorns and thistles will choke out your plants. It's a picture of the natural, the sinful, choking out that which is right. But what we see here is that they too are not producing fruit, meaning that they are not being productive in the kingdom of God. And then finally, there's the good soil. And the good soil simply says this, that those, the soil is thrown out and it takes root and it grows up. But I think that when Jesus explains it over in Luke, we see part of the key here. Luke 8:15, he says, but the seed in the good ground, these are the ones who, having heard the word with honest and a good heart, hold on to it by enduring and produce fruit. Jesus says that those who endure to the end are my children. Amen? And so as we think about it tonight, no, it's not easy. No, it's not always about emotions and things like that. It's about being faithful to the word, faithful to the truth. So before we close out tonight, is there any thoughts, any comments on what we've studied? What do y'all think about the four? How many of the four do you think is authentic? Exactly. It seems like there was a season of growth. There was a season of maturing, but they never got to the point to being productive. Any other thoughts? I mean, you know, if you worked a job, let's say that you were a carpenter for 25 years, and I asked you to go measure something for me, you should be able to go measure something for me, right? But if I asked you to measure something for me after 25 years and you looked at me and said, I ain't learned how to read a measuring tape yet, what am I going to think? What have you been doing for 25 years? And sometimes we see that in people that have been saved for years upon years, been a member of the church for years upon years, but yet when they're asked to serve in a capacity, they don't feel comfortable in doing X, Y, or Z. And then maybe not that, but they're not doing anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of the Lord. Something's wrong there. And I know not everybody's going to be called to get up here and to preach or to pray or to be back, but some people, they're going to be prayer warriors. You'll never see much other than being faithful to the church, but those are the ones that are going to pray and the ones that I'll call on and ask them to pray. But you see the picture there. So any other thoughts? See, that's what I'm telling you. I thought I had it nailed down, man. I thought I had this, and then Luke comes in there and he just throws it in. Now, I like Luke's writing, and thank you, brother. I like Luke's writing because it's more of the way we read things, you know. Thank you, Brother Gary. Anybody else? Had any of you ever seen that? Had that ever stuck out to any of y'all? I've known this is another one of those that we know the Scriptures, right? We're familiar with the Scriptures. But never in my life have I noticed that where it said, and they never produce mature fruit. Now, one thing that I find hard is, who in the world's producing 100-fold more than what was produced? Now, them boys and them girls is a going, man. I hope I'm a 30%er, you know? I mean, if the Lord just said, I'd use about 30%, I thought, whoo, all right, no, just cutting up. Anything else before we close out tonight? As you're going out, if you want to, take a look at some of the supplies. Being told that they're needing a lot of everything but clothing. Not really wanting any clothing now, but cleaning supplies, personal care stuff, all that type. And Sister Tammy, I think, is trying to get up for next Tuesday to where they'll go. And if you want to do some cleaning up and all that. If you ever went and helped out with the hurricane, when Katrina come in, you remember that you had to mud out the houses and you had to take the sheetrock down from so high and spray it with a chemical to kill the mold and stuff like that. It sounds like it'll be a lot like that because of the water damage and stuff and all that. But if you have any questions, just ask Sister Tammy. And then do be praying for our prayer breakfast, our men's prayer on Wednesday, Saturday at 8. And then our community welcome back kickoff on the 13th, beginning at 6 o'clock. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe it ain't as bad as when he fell and broke the ankle. Thank you, sister. I was wondering, you know, Brother Johnny, usually here. Anyone else? All right, I'm going to ask you to stand as we close out in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, it's good to be with your people tonight. It's good to have a discussion on your word. And we thank you for your word, and we're thankful, Lord, that it is incorruptible. And Lord, we can hold fast to it and that it will never change because you never change. And Lord, we do pray for those needs tonight, Lord, that we think of Brother Johnny tonight. We think of Sister Moselle, and we just lift them up to you. And God, pray that you'll be with them. Pray that you give them, Brother Johnny, ease and comfort in the pain. And God, I just praise you for who you are. I ask you to be with us as we go out. I pray your favor and blessing be upon us so that we can share your favor and your blessings to those that we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless y'all.